Thank you so much, Ms. Loretta and Kate. That is so much more than a song. That is the truth in song of what we've been looking at for some Sundays now. And that song takes us from the early morning hour, spending time talking to God in prayer, and takes you then to the night hour. And I'm telling you, that is what God desires. When that song says that as you're in that time with Him, He's reminding you He's His own. If you're not His, if you don't belong to Him this morning, you're not experiencing that Him walking with you and talking with you. And that's our desire this morning. And for all of us that we're hearing more, amen, to hear His voice and to hear His direction. So thank y'all for, man, what an awesome, awesome message and song. Brother Brian, we love you and been praying. Brian's need is pretty great, but we have a great God, amen. And you may have not been prepared, or this may be a rough month for you, but I thank you for giving. I know Brian and Pat do, and we'll just see as God will continue to use you to make needs. I often believe sometimes, you know, God will give you some extra money, and oftentimes that's not for us, amen. And oftentimes it is, but oftentimes it's not. So He may bless you with something you bless. And I know Brian will keep us updated, and we're just trusting. And He may have provided the need today. We don't even know, but we give it to God. And thank y'all so much for last Sunday, celebrating anniversary, for the good meal and the gift and all, and your gifts. And thank y'all so much for me and my family. Love y'all dearly. And it's good to be back this morning to jump right in His Word. Amen. Turn me in your Bibles back to Daniel. Daniel, we're going to be looking again in Daniel chapter 8, and let's just pick up again in Daniel 8 on verse 15. Daniel 8, 15. If you're physically able, stand with me, and let's honor the reading of His Word. And so glad to have our visitors with us, and good to be in God's house, and good to worship Him. Daniel chapter 8, verse 15. And it came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen the vision, and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid, and fell on my face. But he said to me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, and he touched me and set me aright. I said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the nation, for at time appointed the end shall be. And then read verse 27 with me at the end of the chapter. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterward I rose up, did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. Lord, I pray that you'd help us be astonished at what you're showing us, and astonished at your word, and just at the ability, Lord, that you have to speak to us through your word and through prayer and through others that you've spoken to. And dear God, we just beg of you, we're in desperate need, Lord, that you speak to us this morning about our sin that's in our life. Speak to us personally, dear God. Speak to us about, Lord, fears and all, Lord, that's on our hearts and minds. Lord, we need to hear your voice. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we looked last Sunday, we were looking, as Daniel had seen this vision, and basically to help make it current for us today, God is showing you things. Amen. God is constantly showing us things. Those things coming across the TV, those places you find yourself at work and at school, even in the church house, the things that you see online, all the things that you experience. Listen, God is trying to show us things. I pray that you sense this week how God has spoke to you in some way. And I challenge you, as the lady sang, if you're not experiencing that daily walk and communion with Him, and God just speaking into your lives, and that God really is showing you things, you need to, one of two things. You need to surrender. Just this be the Bible calls it the day of salvation. Be the Sunday, be this time and place where you just surrender and say, you know, I want to hear from God. I want to be in a relationship with God. And then maybe you're like me and just was reminded even beginning of this week how easy, as the Bible says, the sin that so easily besets us. And that's so true, how quickly I can look at something, I can think about something, how I can be drawn away from the position and place I need to be here, God, and I'm hearing all kind of the things and being distracted, and that inevitably for all of us, preacher included, just leads to sin, sinful thinking, sinful actions, and all that's going on. So we desperately need to hear. So as Daniel had received the vision, we kind of focused last Sunday about the understanding, because really we find there in verse 16 that God's voice is speaking to the angel Gabriel and is making that statement, verse 16, make this man to understand. So God is saying, make this man understand the vision. And so we talked about understanding, and with understanding, the Bible is very clear. Twice in Proverbs it tells us, There is a way that seems right to us, but yet it is a way unto death. That's pretty powerful words. Amen. So what, I'm thankful for that, because God is telling me and you, he said, listen, there is ways that you think and ways that you understand, all the kind of things that you see in your life and world that may appear to be okay, but they're leading to death, and not ultimately like a spiritual death apart from Christ or a physical death, but just death of a friendship, death of a marriage, death of relationships with children and family. Just but he says, hey, a lot of times the way we think is not right. Amen? We've all experienced that way. We don't think right. And then he tells us, we looked in Proverbs again, he says, don't lean on our own understanding. Thank you, Lord, because I don't understand so much. I don't have the answer to all your questions. All the answers that we've been provided and we need are in his word, but it's not necessarily all the answers that I want or think that I need. So he tells me, don't be leaning on what I understand. So I've been reminded, as my old preacher said years ago, my thinking can be stinking. So I better be careful what I'm thinking. My understanding can be incomplete. And then he goes on, we kind of ended up last Sunday with the word of God telling us, though, that he wants to give us all understanding. So he says, hey, realize you may be thinking wrong, acting wrong, doing wrong. Your understanding may be mixed up, but I will give you all understanding. And all understanding comes through that still small voice we saw in the Bible that Elijah was hearing. And it's all found in the fact that we know that God wants us to speak. He wants us to understand. And he really wants you to understand where you're at right now. But more importantly, he wants you to understand that he loves us too much to leave us right where we are. Amen? Now listen, you can be as lost as you can be this morning, and you know that you really don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's very simple. If you have a personal relationship with Jesus that he desires to have, wants to have, and will have with you, I'll give you a few examples. Your life's been transformed. There's a time where you used to live and do certain things, and your life has been completely transformed. You don't do those things anymore. You love his church. You love his word. You love prayer. And one of the things is once you receive the good news of Christ, and he comes to the side of you, you want to tell others about Jesus. So your week this week has been hallmarked by you've been in his word on a regular basis. You've been hearing from him. You've been praying. You've been serving him in some capacity. And you've been out sharing just Jesus with everybody you can. Now, for you lost folks, let me give you a break. Because there's some folks here, the Christian folks, are saying, whoa, wait a minute. I ain't done a single one of those things. I know Jesus, but that ain't my week. But this is how our week should be. That's what God desires us for. Hear from him, but you have to have this ongoing passion that you know that you know that you know that you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. If you haven't, today is the day. I want us to pause a moment before we go to, I was really plowing toward chapter 9 and anxious to get there. We may touch a part today. But God really brought me back and halted me there in verse 15. And there's a statement that's made that I want you to really, for God to speak to us and give us a better understanding, because in verse 15, it tells about Daniel, and if you're not careful, it'll slip by. Look what it says. It said, I, Daniel, had seen the vision, and here's these four words. He said, I sought for the meaning. Daniel is saying, God had showed me some things, so I'll make it personal to you. Man, God's really getting, I've been seeing a lot of things going on in my life. You know, I've been thinking about a lot of things. I'm seeing things in my family and friends. I'm seeing things in the presidential election. I'm seeing things at work, and I'm seeing these things. And so Daniel had seen all these things, and you got to understand a very important step he made is we all were seeing things constantly, but Daniel, he just kind of stopped. And he said, I began to seek the meaning from God. Now think about that for a moment. How different would our lives be if every time we saw something, thought something, getting ready to make a decision, getting ready to move forward from any point, that we took a Daniel example and we said, you know, I need to seek the Lord here. You know, and that we can say afterwards that I sought him in that, I heard his voice, I waited upon him. I seem to hear God speak in my life a lot of that this week. Just now, just remember, wait. He says, wait on me. Wait on me. He says, be still. Be still. I'm not very good at that. Y'all very good at that? I'm not very good at being still. I'm not very good at waiting. I don't want to wait. We live in a society that our world, and I believe the sinful influence of Satan has driven us to, we just want instantly. I mean, we want to sit in our chair on the couch and we want on demand instantly. We want whatever channel we want. Amen. There ain't much cooking in the kitchen anymore. I mean, literally, we're fuming if the line is long in the drive-thru where you decided you wanted to eat. Even Christian food like Chick-fil-A, the line is long, and you just are anxious. I'm busy. I got to go. I want to get my food. I want to go. We don't want to wait on anything. Amen? But God, Daniel stops, and he makes that phrase, and he says that he sought for the meaning of what he was seeing. Man, that's every day. That's every day. So we're going to dive in Scripture for a moment. And what's the Bible say? If we're going to seek for the meaning of what's going on around us in our own lives and everything else, what does that mean in the Bible? And you find it in really several places in the Bible. And I want us to begin in Exodus. So hold your place here in Daniel. But go back toward the beginning of the Bible. There early on, right after Genesis, you have Exodus. I want to show you something in Exodus 33, verse 7. Man, this jumped out of the Bible pages as I was trying to hear from God this week. And I want you to see this and hear this. Exodus 33, verse 7. Exodus 33, 7. Very basic thing going on here. Once again, you kind of miss this seeking for meaning, or seeking the Lord. Look in verse 7. Exodus 33, verse 7. Read it with me. Moses took the tabernacle, pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out into the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. Now, let me clarify what's going on there. Make it simple, make it practical. First of all, we have a picture here, though, just like of Daniel seeking God, going after God, you know, realizing I want to hear from God, I want him to speak to me. And remember, he always wants to speak to us first. My Sunday school teacher years ago, he would often use the example, some of you have seen, he says, every time that you're pointing a finger at somebody else about something else, there's three fingers pointing back at you. And that's what God will always do. If you seek the meaning of what's going on in your wife or husband's life or what's going on in the world, God is focused on, he's pointing at us and say, I want to deal with you. And so here we find an example, really a biblical foundation. Remember I said last Sunday, our desire looking at Daniel is, what does it look like? What happens in our life? How are things going to be if we're really hearing from God? Well, here's an example here in Exodus. So here's the picture. The children of Israel, they are wandering in the wilderness, and so God has set up, and they would camp, basically what they're doing. They're setting up camp. So they're traveling along, and they would set up a camp, as it would be, so that they could stay there, and they could be protected, and just have an area that they're going to stop and spend the night or spend some time. And what's going on here, though, we have Moses as he's going out. So they're going to camp. And here in verse 7, it says, though, he talks about the tabernacle. And the tabernacle, if you would, was like the church. It represented the presence of God. It was the holy ark of God. It had the Ten Commandments in it. In future on down the road in the Bible, it had Aaron's rod. It had a lot of things that were in it. But the picture here early on in the Bible is it was this place of the presence of God to seek God and worship God. Very simple. And look what he does. He takes it and he sets the tabernacle, the place that you go seek God, the place that you go for the presence of God. He sets it out apart away from where they were camping and where they were living at and staying at. It's kind of a picture of the church. What a picture here in the Old Testament is that even back in those times, God knew there needed to be a separate spot that you would go separate from where you're living, what you're doing, what all is going on in your life, and you're going to have a place that you can go to seek God and hear from God and experience God like you can't in any other place. It's a church foundational scripture in the whole Bible. So I ask you this morning is, here's the question, where are you camped out in your life right now? Where are you camped out? What is that? What is it like in your home and life where you're accustomed to? It's your daily routine at home and at work and all. That's where you're camped out at. And what God is saying is, if you really want to seek the meaning and hear from me of what's going on in life, then you're going to have to leave where you're camped out. Some of you, this may be only maybe a few Sundays that you've even been back in church in a long time, and you're listening to God. You're following the Bible. You've got to leave home on Sunday morning. You've got to leave the camp of home. You've got to go out to a place that God has set aside that we come to seek Him and want to understand from Him. Amen? So back in the beginning of the Bible, so in every week, Satan is fighting us all to come to church. You're saying, well, yeah, not you, preacher, you got it made. I mean, Satan will throw a thing at you. A music director's fighting. I just saw about this morning with Jessica, as you were leading, and Deborah sitting there thinking, man, it's like Satan's using an attack on the ears of our music folks, because Deborah's been fighting this disease in her ear, and she has no balance, and she can't get up and lead music. Now, Jessica's got an infection in her ear. It's been going on for 4 days now, and she's trying to do her best, but it's just driving her crazy. And so, hey, there's all these things that are going on. There's all these attacks that Satan has. On any given Sunday morning, Satan just like me, just to stay in bed. Amen. Just stay right here, preacher. I think Satan would offer every one of us a convenient sickness if we wanted. Amen. To not leave the camp. Work becomes a camp. Some of you spend a lot of hours camped out at work. Amen. And there's a constant call that God is saying, it's not just in church, but it's in your home altar, that place where you can read the Bible and pray or you get apart. But constantly there's a picture. How you know that you're seeking the meaning of life and what God's trying to speak is you're constantly leaving those places that your selfishness and the world and your business has you camped out, and you've got to leave and you've got to head to where God can speak to you. It can be in Sunday school, it can be in preaching hour, tonight, Wednesday night, it can be as you open your Bible during the week, but just get in your mind, the foundation is, I've got to get apart from all this distractions and all my business so I can hear Him, and that's how I know I'm hearing Him. Turn me to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 is going to give us another picture here in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles 26:5. I'm still in 1 Chronicles, so flip with me. 2 Chronicles 26:5. In 2 Chronicles, in 26:5, the Bible says, listen to these words, and he sought God, there it is again, he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. That's what the Bible says. It says, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now, some of you smiling are right where your mind went. You're like, man, that's my problem. That's my financial trouble. If I just seek God, then he's going to provide all the needs, pay all the bills. He's going to prosper me. And this, hey, preacher, I'm glad I came to church this morning. Well, he might do that, okay? But that's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about here, he says, as long as I'm seeking the Lord to hear his voice, he's going to make me to prosper spiritually. I'll tell you something. I spend a lot of time at the hospital. And it doesn't matter how much money you've got or how little money you've got. If you end up very sick or in an accident, they're going to take you. Many of you have been down this path. You all go into the same room, same type intensive care room, right, Jessica? Same room. Rich and poor. You're going to get the same wonderful outfit that we all love, Angie, that got no back. Amen? I've been by people's bedsides that just literally they have nothing, not even a place to live. But the hospital and the sickness is a great leveling ground. I've been there and I've been by the bedside of probably a man who's probably one of the richest men in all North Carolina. And I'll never forget what he told me, laying there in intensive care, in that gown like everybody else wears, in that bed, getting the same care everybody gets. He said, "Preacher," he said, "all that stuff doesn't mean anything. All that stuff doesn't mean anything." See, when I tell you that story is, if you're seeking God, and one way you'll know that you're seeking the meaning of what he's trying to tell you is that he'll give you, the prosperous in this, he'll give you peace. He'll give you love. He'll give you direction. He'll give you comfort. He'll give you hope. I mean, in the midst of whatever's going on. But the Bible's saying, as long as I was seeking him. And too often we just, I mean, how easy, Brother, is it not, how easy is it not just to things get to going good, or things are going okay, and we're moving along, and things are going, and we're just not spending the time that God wants us to in seeking him. Turn on what we're going through, heading on through the Old Testament, I mean in Psalms. You know how much I love the Psalms and love the reading the Psalms, but in Psalms 34. And Psalms 34 is all marked up and all wrote up in my Bible. In Psalms 34 and verse 4, hear the word of God again. Here it comes again. Psalms 34, 4, the Bible says, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." Y'all, that's a pretty good promise. Amen. I talked to the children about their fears, and our fears are a lot different when they're that age, when we're that age. Amen. But I tell you, fear is something that obviously it is so prevalent in our lives, and it has such a power to cause us to do all kind of things. And oftentimes our fear will not cause us to run or to hide, but we'll have some fears in our lives, and it'll turn us into kind of prideful or arrogant or cocky people. I've often told the story of a boss I had. He was seemed like the most arrogant and prideful, like he had everything under control. I was in the shipping area one day with a friend of mine, and the guy said, "Man, I just am stressed out today, and I get stressed and I get a headache." And I said, "Well, I don't usually normally get a headache when I get stressed, but I get a knot in my stomach, you know." And that guy walked through and he said, "Huh, I don't get stress, I give stress." And he gave me a lot of stress over the years, Tony. But I don't know all that was going on in his life, because he came to the point where one day he shut himself in the garage and hooked a hose up to the pail pipe into his car, and he killed himself. See, fear does a lot of different things. I mean, fear comes in a lot of different forms. You can't look at someone and know what fear is doing to them. I can't look at you and know that, but fear is a reality in all of our lives. A fear of what we've done, a fear of what we haven't done, a fear of what's coming next. Some of you are fearful about, man, what will this country be like regardless of who's president? Amen? We have fears, but God can tell why it's so important and why we need to understand. God continually speaks about fear in the Bible and tells us not fear not. And so here in Psalms 34, look at simply the three steps that is key. I sought the Lord, just like Daniel did. I sought him for a meaning of what was going on. And he heard me. And we're going to talk about that more in just a minute, but it said he delivered me from all my fears. Now notice, he didn't say that he delivered from all the circumstances, all the places. It didn't deliver from what was causing the fear. He just delivered from the fear. And that's what God wants to do. God is not about taking away all the things that are going on in our life. He's about allowing us to understand how we can hear him and how he can give us a peace and how we cannot have fear no matter what's going on. And that's far better. Amen. When you have a cancer diagnosis and we have many of our church going through treatment or you have all these things going on, there's never a guarantee that everything's going to be, God's just going to heal you and take it away. But to not have the fear, to hear from God this morning that he promises that he will deal with the fear. And that's all the positive side of seeking him. What happens when we don't seek him? What happens when we don't do as Daniel did? Turn to Zephaniah. I know that many of you were in Zephaniah probably this morning reading, and you've been studying Zephaniah often, this little short book in the Bible. In Zephaniah, chapter 1 and verse 6, listen to the word of God. Zephaniah 1, 6, and it says, And them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired for him, Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice, he hath bid his guest. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such are clothed with strange apparel. And let's pause there 1 second. We're going to read some more. Let's pause there. Look what it says in verse 6. The Bible says, and them. Every one of us is a them at different times, okay? We the them. And them that are turned back from the Lord. We've turned our back on the Lord. And those that have not sought him, not trying to hear him. Now, every one of us, we've had that time in our life. Before we knew Jesus Christ, we weren't seeking Jesus Christ. I spent all my life growing up in church. I grew up in church. When the church doors were open, I was a little boy. I came to Sunday school, and I came to Bible school, and I came to church. But I was not, Aaron, seeking God. I was going because mom and dad took me. Amen? And until I surrendered to God, until I gave my life to him, I didn't even know what it meant to seek him. And so the Bible is painting a picture here. We've all been there at some point in our life. You may be there right now. Those that have not sought nor inquired of him. And let's go on now and begin reading verse 9. Some things are coming, okay? They may come to you personally, but the Bible's promising they're going to come to our world as a whole. It says in verse 9, and the same day also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. And it shall come to pass that in that day, saith the Lord, there shall be the noise of a cry from the fish gate and a howling from the second, a great crashing from the hills. And it says, how you inhabitants of Matesh, for all the merchant people are cut down. All they that bear silver are cut off. Now look in verse 12. The Bible says, and it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on the leaves. And listen to what it says they say. And they say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Dickie, that kind of sounds like where we live right now. Doesn't that kind of sound like our world? Yeah, I don't really see God doing much. That's what our world would say. I don't see him doing much good. Look at the hurricane. Look at what happened. Why would a good God let that happen? I don't think God is doing any good. And then they say, as far as evil, I don't see God. I don't see any of that. I don't see any punishment coming. I was reading. I like sometimes read old books, old religious books or old sermon books. I think I'm getting older, but plus I think I've had an old soul for a long time. And so I'm reading a book, and there was an evangelist by the name of B.F. McClendon. He was a man, he was a businessman in Bennettsville, South Carolina, not far from here. And he was probably one of the meanest, most sinful men in all of the county, in all of Bennettsville. He ran a barber shop and had men cutting hair, but the barber shop was simply a front, because in the back, how he made his money was from gambling, selling illegal liquor, and all things that were going on. As God would so have it, now listen to this, and we're probably not going to get even close to touching this, but you have a picture, let me paint back from Daniel. As soon as it says in Daniel that Daniel sought the Lord, when Daniel began to simply say, I want God to give me the meaning of what's going on in my life and around me, immediately things begin to stir in heaven. You hear the voice of God sitting, listen, if you'll simply make the step of saying, I want to seek God, I want to know his meaning of everything in my life, all around me, immediately God goes into action. I mean, if he has to send an angel, if he has to send a Christian friend or a neighbor, listen, all you've got to do, all I've got to do is say, God, I'm seeing, and God will move heaven and earth to send a message. That's the picture. And so what happened in B.F. McClendon's life, this is how God so, his wife had been praying for him, his mom and daddy had been praying for him, and the town had even prayed for him. And guess where a tent revival goes and sets up? Across the street from the barbershop. He goes in, he goes after work that day. Every day after work, usually people would gather in the barbershop to gamble, and nobody was there. So he went over to the local hotel knowing he could probably find some out-of-town people that had gone to the stupid revival and that he could play cards with them. Nobody's there. So he went to the tent revival with in mind. He says, I'm going to go over. And as he got to the tent revival, as singing's going on, the preaching getting ready to begin, he looks around and he's spotting his gambling buddies or spotting out-of-town people saying, yeah, I think I can get up a card game after church. But during that revival, because others have been seeking God for him. It caused the preacher, after he got through preaching, after everything was over, settled down, people were leaving, he walked through all the crowd, walked through everybody, walked up to B.F. McClendon. And he says, B.F. McClendon said he wished that he could repeat the kindness and the care. And he said it weren't somebody attacking him or yelling at him. But the preacher walks right up to him and says, a man that looks like you and a man that dresses like you, I'm sure the devil has him doing dirt in this town, and turned and walked away. There were some ladies around B.F. McClendon that said, hey, you know that preacher? And he sat there saying, no, I don't know him. One simple phrase, because a wife and a mama and a daddy had been seeking God because of the sin in his life. He said he went home. He said he immediately went in. He was all out of sorts. He went to his closet, got some liquor, and took a couple of swigs. And said all night the pillow was like a rock. The bed was like, he couldn't say it. And all he could hear was those words that that man had said to him. One reason I tell you that story, and so here's, let me fast forward. I read the next message in the book, and it's about the Holy Spirit. It's about sin. And the whole story of his life is about God revealing his sin. And then in the next message, it's a message preached in Greensboro at a revival, he says about how the church has just stopped preaching about sin, how sin is being tolerated, how people aren't convicted of sin. I knew how old the book was, but I just had to flip back to remind myself, 1923. So if in 1923 that was going on in church, how bad has it become now? All because, listen, if you seek God, that wife and that mom and daddy, they were seeking God for B.F. McClendon because of the sin in his life. He began to, the first thing he did, even before he got saved, he threw his dice away. Began to get rid of the liquor. Confessed that at 14 years old, at a church service, his dad, God had called him to preach, and he had ignored God all those years. You remember I said that the Bible is trying to teach us about when we seek God, what it looks like. It looks like this. And I'm not picking on any particular sin this morning. I've not got any one person in mind, but I'll tell you, when this preacher can experience and get down on my knees this week and God convict me and God deal with me about my sin, if God is not dealing with you about your sin, you are not seeking him. You're not wanting to hear his voice, because that is what God wants to talk about, needs to talk about, and that is what every one of us is desperate for, the sin that's in our lives. Some of my sin list is the same as your sin list. Some of us have unique things on our sin list that are on the others, but all of us, I'm telling you, what Daniel was experiencing as he fell on his face and as the God was speaking to him was sin in his life. Many people leave our church, will leave other churches, and will find a church they can go to that will accept their sin. Y'all right? Just a confirmation, even last evening, someone telling me a story of going to something and what was going on, and I didn't even have any idea, and they named the church that the people went to, and I said, bless God, because I know some of ours that have gone to that church, because obviously they're just not preaching about that sin. And I say this, not that I want you prospered, as the Bible says, or as you might be thinking, financially in your life or just in your health, but listen, the Bible says if we seek him, he wants to prosper. Y'all, there is no, the Bible says gold and silver won't buy what God wants to speak into our lives, but it's about our sin. Now, I don't want to stand here and confess before y'all my sin of the week. And I don't think any of you want to do that, but I know this one thing, that we are desperate to hear from God. And the only way we're going to hear anymore and be able to move forward in our lives and our churches is if we hear from God about our sin and deal with that sin. I want to finish up, and I know we're probably about out of time. We're out of time, but I want to finish up. Let's just finish up there in Zephaniah and read on in verse 13. Listen to the word of God. Therefore their goods shall become a booty and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards but not drink the wine. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man, shall cry there bitterly. That day is the day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men that they walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord. And their blood shall be poured out as dust and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Would you bow with me? Every head and every bow. What I have read to you is God's message to each one of us and to this world. There is a coming day of judgment. And I don't know when that day is, and that day could be today. And if you have not surrendered your life, if there's not been a time and a place where you turn from your sin, realize that you were lost in sin and that you needed a Savior. Realize, maybe this morning, realize that if you're in sin, that if Jesus Christ returns before we leave this church, he immediately will be caught up, you'll be left behind. But all more important, if you were to get killed on the way home in a wreck, or if you would die from a heart attack, that God, that you would instantly be separated from the presence of grace and mercy and all of your family and friends, but be separated eternity and be destined to hell for all eternity. Judgment is coming. We're living in an age of grace. Why sin can be so rampant in your life, in my life, in the church, in this world, is God's grace, his unmerited favor. But if you have not been surrendered, if you've not given your heart to Jesus, I plead with you, I beg with you to do that today. Church, Christian, I beg of you, fill this altar this morning and pour our sins out and get up with the intention of repenting and turning from them and doing whatever it takes so that God knows this morning that we really sought him and that he really begins to do something and you really begin to hear from him this week. If you're lost, you can't hear from God. And if you're saved and you're not seeking him, just as we continually read, there's a judgment, there's a consequence. Where are you at today? What is your need? If you're lost, would you come? Christian, if you're hearing of God right now and being convicted of any sin, would you come? The altar should be full. Whatever the need is, would you come? And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jessica, go.